The 61st Aradhana program at Arunachala Ashrama. On Saturday, 30th April, Arunachala Ashrama in New York City observed the 61st Mahanirvana anniversary of Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi. The program began about 10:30 with the enthusiastic chanting of Sri Ramana Ashtotra Satana Mauli, followed by Sri Ramana Chatvarimsat, 40 verses in praise of Sri Ramana, Upadesa Saram and Sri Arunachala Aksharamana Malai. Then followed a talk by Sri M.V. Swaminathan. Sri Swaminathan is the son of Sri Venkatraman, who in his youth had the unique destiny of being one of Bhagavan's playmates while he was a boy living in Madurai. Because of his father's association with Bhagavan, M.V. Swaminathan, his children and grandchildren, four generations, have been immersed in the grace of the Master all these years. Sri Swaminathan, his devoted wife, Srimati Kaveri, and his equally fervent son, Ganesan, flew up from Atlanta for one day to attend the Aradhana program and share their remarkable story with the greater New York area devotees. Their genuine devotion and transparent sincerity captured the hearts of all present. We thank them from the bottom of our hearts. Talk by Sri M.V. Swaminathan. Today, I would like to thank the devotees of Bhagavan Sri Ramana who have invited me to speak. I would like to share some first-hand experiences with Bhagavan that my family and I have been blessed with. My grandfather was a Vedic priest and practiced his profession in Madurai. And my father, Sri Venkatraman, had three brothers. Around 1892, Bhagavan and his brother, Sri Nagaswami, moved to Madurai after their father's passing and stayed with their uncle, Sri Subbayar, in the same complex where my father lived. This was a rented house, and it is worth noting that the owner of the house, Sri Gopal Krishna Konar, was a small-time bookseller then, but later went on to become a famous publisher, not only in Tamil Nadu, but of the entire country. I attribute his success to Bhagavan's grace. When Bhagavan and my father were children, they went to the same school. Later, when my father was employed, he and my mother used to visit Bhagavan almost every month. He sometimes even went there without getting his leave approved. During my father's first visit to Thiruvannamalai after Bhagavan had left home, Bhagavan asked him in front of the assembled devotees, how was the Ahati tree that was in front of their compound? When the devotees were puzzled at the question, Bhagavan explained, we played together and used to sneak out in the night to go to the banks of the Vaiga River to learn self-defense from a trainer. In Madurai, houses are generally built with a front patio where people can sit in the afternoon to get some cool breeze and also sleep at night. We boys were not permitted to go down to the river during the night. Therefore, we would make our beds, placing pillows under the covers to make it look like we were asleep, and then slip out to go to the river for training. One day, his father came out through the veranda to go to the bathroom and found that the beds were obstructing his way to the door. He asked this Venkatraman to move his bed over a bit to clear the path. When he got no response, he found out that he and all the boys were missing and waited there until the boys returned. He caught them red-handed with their bamboo sticks used to practice self-defense. The next morning, his father tied him upside down from the Ahati tree and beat him as a punishment. Bhagavan finished his narration by saying that he felt each and every blow that my father received as if it were happening to him. During his visits, my father would not speak or sit in front of Bhagavan out of respect. In his presence, my father would cry uncontrollably. So Bhagavan nicknamed him the Arguni Siddhar, weeping Siddhar. My father was so devoted to Bhagavan that he stopped worshipping all other deities. In all, my parents gave birth to 10 children, out of which, sadly, only 3 survived. My father would communicate each sad occurrence to Bhagavan. Whenever Bhagavan got a postcard from my father, he used to say to everyone present, "Venkatraman has lost another baby." One time, my father overheard Bhagavan describing the prasadam, adai, from the Azhagar Koyal Perumal Temple to other devotees. Immediately, he left Thiruvannamalai and went to Azhagar Koyal and got the prasadam, returned to Bhagavan within 2 days and offered it to him. My father felt that this was his greatest seva to Bhagavan. As we all know, Bhagavan only wore a loin cloth. My father would buy raw cotton balls, clean them, spin them into yarn, and use it to make a loin cloth as an offering to Bhagavan. My father continued to perform this service until his passing in 1939. Annually, during his lifetime, my father would join fellow devotees such as Professor A.N.R. Krishnamurthy Iyer and Attorney Subramani Iyer and conduct Bhagavan's Jayanti and other festivals in Madurai. On these occasions, they would offer food to the devotees and needy people. On one occasion, Bhagavan and his devotees went up to the top of the Arunachala Hill. My father and Sri Ramanatha Brahmachari took the responsibility of carrying food from the ashram to the 7 springs near the top of the hill to serve to Bhagavan and the devotees. Climbing with such a load of food was very strenuous. While they were climbing with great difficulty, all of a sudden Bhagavan with his walking stick suddenly appeared in front of them and guided them to the 7 springs by way of a shortcut. Before they reached there, Bhagavan had disappeared from the sight. Upon arriving, they found Bhagavan calmly sitting among his devotees as if nothing had transpired. My father, on seeing Bhagavan quietly sitting there, got disappointed and said to Bhagavan, "How long are you going to continue with this Maya? You showed us the shortcut but left us at the end. And here you are sitting as if nothing has happened. I don't understand it and I can't take it anymore." Everyone, including my mother, was shocked to hear my father's outcry before Bhagavan. It must be remembered that my father never opened his mouth in front of Bhagavan. But Bhagavan told my mother, smilingly, not to bother and that everything will be all right in a few minutes. When Bhagavan said this, my father realized that his outburst was not warranted. He then concluded that Bhagavan was, in fact, at the 7 springs with his devotees the whole time. But by his grace, he had guided them in the form of Bhagavan to reduce the burden. My brother's days with Bhagavan. I had 2 brothers and the oldest was Sri Ramanachalam, the 4th child of my parents, who was originally named Arunachalam. He used to accompany my parents to visit and pay respects to Bhagavan. Out of devotion to Bhagavan, he renamed himself as Ramanachalam. During one of his visits, when he was 14, he started crying when it was time to go back to Madurai. When asked by Bhagavan why he was crying, he said that he did not want to leave Bhagavan and preferred to stay in the ashram. When Bhagavan asked him what he could give him to make him stop crying and go back home, Ramanachalam asked for his walking stick. Bhagavan told him to return in the evening and gave him a replica of his walking stick. Ramanachalam took it home and kept it under Bhagavan's picture and daily offered prayers to it till the day he died. His son continues to do the same. On another visit to Bhagavan in his youth, when he was reluctant to leave, Bhagavan told him that when he turned 18, he would return and stay at the ashram. When he turned 18, we lost our father, and my brother, being the oldest son, had to leave the family to seek employment. He could not get a proper job and wrote his grievance to Bhagavan in a letter. Within a couple of weeks, he got a job at Polur near Thiruvannamalai. On the weekends, he visited the ashram and offered his service. This continued for about 4 years. Later, he moved near Tiruchuri to work in the postal department. He visited Bhagavan's birthplace frequently. Until he passed away in 2003, he visited Thiruvannamalai several times a year. My mother and Bhagavan. During her visits to the ashram, my mother had the good fortune and grace to associate with Sri Aragamayar Thayar, Bhagavan's mother, and perform seva, including cooking. She also joined in singing bhajans. At home, she would always offer prayers to Bhagavan before serving food. During one of her visits to the ashram, she was grinding rice in the stone grinder, sitting on the floor. Bhagavan sat down beside her and began to help by adding his hand to rotate the stone. While grinding, accidentally, Bhagavan's and my mother's head bumped up against each other. Bhagavan laughed loudly and said to my mother that the bumping made his head swell. Also, Bhagavan would often ask her to sing the bhajans that she had learned from Aragamayar Thayar while engaged in chores. Whenever my father visited the ashram without my mother, as when they might have had a disagreement or fight, my mother would pray to Bhagavan to lessen my father's anger. In a day or two, my father would return home and ask my mother why she complained to Bhagavan about his anger issue and the particular incident that had made him leave the house and go to Thiruvannamalai. He would say that Bhagavan had ordered him to return home without asking him what had happened and why he was angry with my mother. Bhagavan had heard my mother's prayers and she appreciated his divine response each and every time. Upon my father's passing, my mother took my younger brother and me to the ashram to have darshan of Bhagavan, who was, as usual, very busy with the devotees. He looked at us and did not say a word. My mother immediately started crying, introduced herself and asked Bhagavan why he did not recognize her. Bhagavan immediately said, "Parvatam, as your garb has changed, as a widow, she had her distinct dress code and shaven head. It was difficult to recognize you." We do not have an explanation for his statement. Ladies were not allowed to stay in the ashram after 6 p.m. So my mother would stay at Sri Pavaranathan's house in town. He was a devotee of Bhagavan. As you know, in the early days, Bhagavan would sometimes get up early in the morning and go for Giri Pradakshina. Devotees would accompany him. On one of those Pradakshinas, my mother came a little late and was unable to join Bhagavan and the devotees. So she waited at the entrance of the ashram to receive Bhagavan when he returned. On seeing her there, Bhagavan called her by her name and asked her why she was standing at the entrance. My mother very sadly explained to Bhagavan that she had missed the opportunity to go along with him for Giri Pradakshina that day. Bhagavan said that he did not notice her absence and consoled her by stating that all the credit, punyam, that he got on that Giripradakshina would go to her. She felt that this was the greatest blessing for Bhagavan. During Bhagavan's Jayanti festival, my mother would prepare all the prasadam and distribute it to the devotees gathered at the Madurai Ramana Mandiram. From the time my mother was married, she remained a staunch devotee of Bhagavan and passed away while chanting Bhagavan's name. My days with Bhagavan. My mother used to take my younger brother, Sabhapati, my cousin Pattu, and me to the ashram during our half-yearly school vacations. During one of the half-yearly vacations, I distinctly remember the following. One day, we had our shower at Sri Pavaranathan's place and went to have Bhagavan's darshan. Bhagavan was in a reclined posture on the sofa. Devotees were sitting in front of him. Then the meditation hall was a thatched shed with a grass roof. The Jubilee Hall. Next to the Bhagavan, there used to be a small coal furnace on the floor wherein some sambarani, aromatic powder placed on charcoal to give fragrance, was emitting smoke. Over the head of Bhagavan, there used to be a pankha, a fan made of cloth and feathers tied to a long rope. When the rope was pulled, the pankha would move back and forth, creating a motion, thus producing a considerable breeze. As there was no electricity, the devotees used to pull the rope and bring some fresh air to Bhagavan. As a service, I once pulled the long rope a bit faster than I was supposed to and produced more than the desired airflow to Bhagavan. As it was December, it got quite cold and Bhagavan immediately told me to go slow. I stopped immediately and stood next to Bhagavan, feeling guilty. During our vacation visits, we played in the ashram and the nearby wooded area. After breakfast, we would go with our mother to worship Bhagavan and then go play under the trees. Being very young, we did not realize the value of being in the presence of Bhagavan. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner were always served on time, and Bhagavan would sit in the middle, visible to all, while the devotees would sit on either side of Bhagavan. Just as today, there was no discrimination when it comes to serving food. All were treated equally. Sometimes, for a snack, we were given toasted peanuts with tea, coffee, or milk. Devotees would help the kitchen staff to shell the peanuts, but to our surprise, no one was tempted to eat even a single nut while shelling. So, as children, when we helped in the kitchen, shelling nuts, we also followed that example. While we were in the ashram around 10 a.m. every day, one of the devotees would carry Bhagavan's kamandalam, a pot with a handle to hold water, while an attendant would follow a short distance behind. When we were playing outside, Bhagavan would sometimes call us and take us along with him for a walk. Bhagavan, whom we called Tata, grandfather, used to put one arm around my shoulder and the other on my brother's while we walked for about 100 yards or so. After a certain point, he would ask us to stay back and proceed on his own with his walking stick. We would wait there thinking that he would come back the same way, but he never did, even on a single occasion. Every day when we would go with him for a walk, he would alternate among the three of us, my younger brother Mani alias Sabhapati, my cousin Padmavati alias Pattu, and me, so that everyone got the same opportunity to have his gracious touch around our shoulders. What an amazing grace that was, to have the touch of Bhagavan on a daily basis. Obviously, we did not realize the significance of it then. During such walks, he would ask our names, and then he would repeat the name three times and would discuss with us its meaning. During one such conversation, he asked us where our home was in Madurai, and my brother told him that our house was near Central Cinema Talkies. Since there was no cinema there during Bhagwan's time in Madurai, he said that he could not understand our location. Then I told him that we lived in Gopalakottan Street between two other prominent streets, to which he said, "Oh, that Chakade Sandhi Gutter Street." That conversation took place in 1945. Recently, when I visited Madurai in 2010, I noticed that that street remains exactly the same, a Chakade Sandhi, with no change to the buildings and street at all. Bhagwan's words seem to have predicted its future also. Between lunch and tea, around 3 p.m., Bhagwan used to answer devotees' questions. The beauty of it was that Bhagwan would answer in the language of the questioner. For example, a question in Telugu, Tamil, Malayalam, English, etc., was normally answered in that same language. When my sister-in-law first met Bhagwan, through my brother, Bhagwan started conversing with her in Malayalam. As she hailed from Kerala, we witnessed that even upon animals, Bhagwan showered his grace. He used to communicate with all the animals. I saw him conversing with squirrels, monkeys, going to him to settle the disputes, birds eating seeds and nuts from his hands. Numerous such incidents have been recorded. He even extended his grace to thieves by look, by touch, by speech, and by silence. He extended his grace to all living beings. During our stay, we also met Major Chadwick and Paul Brunton. We would go to Muruganas residence and listen to his talks on Bhagwan. Paul Brunton once visited our home in Madurai. In 1950, my older brother went to the ashram and had Bhagwan's darshan. During a conversation, Bhagwan asked my brother about our uncles. When my brother talked about our four uncles, Bhagwan said that while he remembered the first three, he did not recall the fourth. When my brother returned to Madurai and told our fourth uncle about Bhagwan's inquiry, he immediately left for Thiruvannamalai and sought Bhagwan's blessings. Like many thousands of devotees, our family has been very blessed to receive Bhagwan's grace all along the way. My three sons are well educated and settled in the USA for the past 25 years, while my daughter is settled in India with my son-in-law, who holds a very high position in Bombay. My nephews, brother's children, are well off, and health-wise, my wife and I are doing reasonably well. As a child, while others paid their respects by doing pradakshinam around Bhagwan, I would stand outside and watch them. Once, when my mother and other elders insisted that I should also do pradakshinam, Bhagwan intervened and told everyone to leave me alone. He said that I am a person who keeps his devotion deep inside without exhibiting it, and that is perfectly fine. When I think of that conversation Bhagwan had with my elders, I feel blessed, for I know that he sees right into my very being. In my life, I have been fortunate and incredibly blessed by Bhagwan's grace. I have no regrets. Thank you for your time and kind attention. May Bhagwan's grace be upon us and help us sail this ocean of life with ease and attain moksha.